Moving on, if we can, another important item. If you remember at the last meeting, we embarked on our discussion about the possible establishment of a harbourfront authority. And I think there was general agreement, certainly around the table and in discussions I've had since, that this is the way forward. If we're really to bring about the change we want, we do need executive responsibilities and powers. But we also agreed that there was the need for homework and diligence, particularly to look at examples both in Hong Kong and externally, not in terms of, if you like, mirroring what they do and how they do it, but essentially to look at the key parameters and the key drivers which have led to either success or failure. So that was where we left things last time. Harbour Business Forum very kindly stuck their hand up and said, if you want some help, we will help you, and they've produced the paper that that you have in your pack today, essentially looking at examples both in Hong Kong and externally. And if I may, I'll ask Maggie to brief us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we need to get the presentation up.
Oh, sorry. All right.
But perhaps I could start with just some introductory remarks. As you say, we offered to put together this paper because the Harbour Business Forum had done significant work on backgrounds to various solutions to perhaps authorities around the region, and we thought it would be useful just to pull all that work together. But we haven't just used Harbour Business Forum research. We've used the work that was done under the HEC with all the visits that the HEC undertook exploring some of these things. We've also looked at various studies that were produced by Planning Department and various others, so that we've brought together in a sort of desktop form all the information we could find that would be helpful on this. We haven't in the time had time for any original research, but that wasn't the point. We were trying to bring together information that would be helpful to members. All we're doing is laying this on the table as information. It is obviously entirely up to the HC where they decide to take this and what form they have, but at least we hope that you can make some informed decisions once you've taken on board the report, which is rather longer than I think we ever imagined it might be, together with the range of appendices that we've now circulated to you. This is going to be a fairly high-level presentation. There's obviously a lot of work has gone into pulling together the report. It's really a guide for you to read it and understand it, digest it, and decide quite where it should go from now on. The presentation agenda, a quick introduction, a framework for a harbour authority, history of the debate in Hong Kong, because it's quite informative as to what discussions have taken place in the past, international and local case studies, which we undertook, or pulled together at least, and the next steps. And this is just a suggestion. It's not the way we're recommending. It's just a way. We found it quite difficult when we got down to talking about this. There are so many things to be considered. So what we thought we could do is to put out how we considered them, how a process that we worked out worked, and hope that might help members also with the process of discussion and debate going forward. So, introduction. Context. This all arose from a submission that was made by the Society of Protection of the Harbour in May, when they were actually proposing to look at the Central Harbourfront Authority, because they were concerned about pulling that particular development together. But the principle was well received by members, and Mrs. Lam endorsed the idea, and that we should look into a statutory harbour authority. And that idea should be revisited. It had been proposed in the past, so that concrete recommendations could be put forward for the consideration of government during its current term, or for the government for the next term, but they could put forward now. HBF undertook to provide this information, as I've described. The objectives of the paper is to introduce members to the range of possible forms of harbour authority, because really this has been tried elsewhere and there are a range of different formats one could use, to define a common set of terms to describe the forms, because we found that each case study tended to call one thing by different names, and we found it a little bit confusing and thought we could clarify that, so we produced that to try and help. We highlighted international experience in the structure of overarching authorities and harbour bodies, and we've compared this with a range of authorities that already exist in Hong Kong, really just to show differences and how things might be approached. And we wanted to raise awareness about the key issues for setting up any authority to look after the harbour. I'm afraid we just make some quick caveats. As I say, we did this so we could produce it quite quickly so that debate can proceed. The case studies are based on a review of public available information, that we didn't do any original research on this. The thing that comes through is the importance of local context. No one size fits all. We have to have a Hong Kong solution to this. We focused on the potential components for an overarching body. It doesn't preclude any options for secondary or even tertiary organisations that could help with delivery or management. This is just the overarching body at the top. No considerations to who might sit on it and in what capacity, and obviously in the end very much will depend on who does that. And the focus is on informing debate and the structure rather than establishing a rationale. We've assumed that people think this is a good idea. Framework. We divided into three tiers, and we called the top tier the three R's, and this is how we might consider putting together the various components and how you consider the various components that go into this. Tier one, we called the three R's. What should be the authority's remit? Once that's decided, what responsibilities should be handled by the authority within that remit? And then what resources would an authority need to deliver and discharge its responsibilities effectively? The second tier would then be the components for each of the R's. So you've got the components that make up the remit, which are basically geographical and functional, the responsibility elements of planning, delivery and management, and then the resources, which could cover land, finances and staffing, human resources. And then you've got the options within Tier 3 for all of those components. I won't try and go through this in detail, but what we've tried to do is show under each heading, this is remit, and you have geographical and functional. You then have to work across, and you've got various options you could undertake for under these various things, how you could fulfill that geographical or functional remit. We've done it in such a way so that if you want a really high-powered authority, you look down the left-hand side, and then you move down towards the right, where it would have a sort of medium authority and a less powerful authority on the far right, which is probably not a great deal more than we do at the moment with the Commission. We then do the same for responsibilities, and the first one would be planning. Now we'd have responsibility for planning or not responsible for planning. I would remind again, this is, you know, in the context of this, this is just laid out as how the options should be looked at. We're not trying to say how it should be done, but these are the options that have to be considered. And we have to bear in mind our unique and existing institutions in Hong Kong and how we cope with these things now. Again, you've got the responsibility planning, you go from statutory planning, strategic planning, land use planning, implementation planning, and you work your way across. And, of course, it could be they're not going to be responsible for anything except planning advice. Another responsibility is delivery. This could go from being a body that directly controls and delivers various projects, or it can go to having various other bodies that it works with who could be charged with delivery. And again, this works a way across. You can deliver independently, you could do it with joint venture partners, you can set incentives and ask others. There's a variety of options in the way this can be done. And the same goes for management. And I think one of the things that has come across in the work that we've done is that you do need a management capability of one sort or another. But again, it could be direct or it could be through third-party providers. Resources. We go through the same range of options. You can go from the left-hand side, where you have an authority that can actually resume land, could buy and sell land, or you go right over to the other side, where it doesn't hold land and can advise only on land policy as it affects harbour and harbour activities. Again, all these need consideration, discussion, balance. We have financial resources. I think, generally speaking, one feels that the research has shown that if you don't have an authority, it needs to have its financial resources. Otherwise, it makes life very difficult. However, you go from being financially autonomous, where it can spend its funds exactly as it pleases, and we are not going in at this stage onto how it raises those funds, where across to that it doesn't hold its own funds and has to organise and claim those and justify those coming from another body. Staff, it could have its own staff, or it could work with other parts of government or other independent bodies to provide staff and have a secretariat that way. Again, it has different options depending on how autonomous and how strong the authority is decided to be. Now, this is the overall framework, and I'm afraid on here it's quite difficult to see, but it does try to put together how you need to balance the various options. And I think one needs to bear in mind that if you have something from the left, and maybe something from the centre, and then you have to look at something from the right. There's all sorts of ways these various options could be put together to actually form an authority that is appropriate and can deliver what is thought necessary in Hong Kong. All of these activities actually are part of what is part of other authorities that we've investigated. They can be built together in a range of ways, but again, very strong authority on the left, not so strong authority on the right. But they can be put together in different ways. And we've just an illustrative example. We're not saying this is how it would be done. But you could have something from the centre, something from the left, something from the right, and get the balance that people thought was appropriate in Hong Kong. If people want to talk about the various aspects of this, they can come back and talk in a moment. It's in the full table is in the paper, and much more easy to read, I think. History. We've come through various, the trail to get to this stage has been going on for some time. It started off with Planning Department's Harbour Plan in 2003, which was the first official acknowledgement that we know of that a new delivery agency might be required for what people were hoping would happen on the harbour going forward. We then went through the creation of the Harbourfront Enhancement Commission and the work that they did, particularly the task group on management of the harbour. Then there was the first LegCo debate, which took place in 2006, which was defeated, and it was not considered necessary to have a harbour authority. The HBF actually published an integrated harbour vision and delivery plan in 2009 and provided some support for an eventual harbour authority, in that we thought there was a need for a delivery and management agency that could do this with statutory powers eventually. HEC, as I say, the task group, then took on a lot of work and had various visits that explored how other places looked after harbour authorities and how they managed their harbours and harbour front activities. And there was the creation after that in 2010 of the Harbour Front Commission to advocate, oversee and advise on harbour matters. And then earlier this year, there was a second LegCo debate. The amended motion to perfect harbourfront planning and management was debated and passed by LegCo when they thought that an authority was necessary to deliver that. So the evolution of the debate, there's been differing interpretations of what a harbour authority would do and why it may be needed. But really all aspects of this are probably now being considered, and we've tried to bring these together. The focus has been on the second of the 3 hours, really, responsibility, starting with an appreciation for need for a new delivery agency, then a body that could take on planning in certain aspects, certainly, and latterly area management as well, which has come to be an aspect we've been talking about quite a lot in the Commission. There's been a growing appreciation that to deliver these responsibilities, some sort of overarching body is required, and it needs supporting resources, given the existing and quite well established funding and governance arrangements that we have in Hong Kong. International local case studies. These are helpful and indicative, but not obviously in their own entirely applicable. This is why we say we need a unique Hong Kong solution, and why we probably have to take a selection of different ways of doing things from the responsibilities, remits and resources that we've identified. The choice of case studies, the choice was made so that we could assist members in understanding how harbourfront government has been handled. Not necessarily, we wanted as wide a range as possible, a different ways of doing things. So we made the choice, there are others of course, but we thought that Boston Redevelopment Authority demonstrated some things. We felt that Waterfront Toronto demonstrated others. Singapore is well known and therefore quite a useful one to draw some conclusions from. And the Sydney Harbour Foreshore Authority is also useful for drawing certain conclusions. In addition, we explored 5 local authorities that have been set up under statutory authority in Hong Kong, and the sort of responsibilities that these have been granted and the way they're funded in some cases. One was the Housing Authority, one was the Hong Kong Science and Technology Park, West Kowloon Cultural District, Urban Renewal Authority, and the Airport Authority. And I think the common theme running through is all, each is responsible for areas of land, either bigger or smaller, and certainly in sort of more or less autonomous areas. That more limited. I mean, the only one obviously is the Housing Authority, which has a territory-wide, but on the other hand, it's various estates. It's not it's sort of right across the territory in the broadest fashion. And the full case studies are in the appendices. We've given the short summaries in sections 4 of the main report, and then there's a table which sort of tries to draw some of these things together. We've tried to bring some of the points out in this. We haven't got much information about the case studies. They're all there, and hopefully people can read them at their leisure. But the remits under them vary. Geographical, some are citywide, Singapore, Boston, and then of course of the local ones, the URA and the HA are territory-wide. Some are limited. Toronto is just the waterfront and particular areas, as is Sydney, that's the waterfront areas. And then the Hong Kong Airport is obviously responsible for the airport, HKSTP for the Science Park, WKCA just for the Cultural District. Functional, they've all got physical development remit. They all produce physical developments on the areas for which they are responsible. Economic development remits internationally, that's Boston and Sydney. Locally, we have the airport and the science park, but these, of course, are sector specific. Other function remits, such as community, environment, heritage conservation, are quite common in both international and local examples. Responsibility, these vary. Planning, all have land use and implementation planning responsibilities. Strategic planning, internationally, both Boston and Singapore do, and locally, of course, the HA, Airport Authority, Science Park and Housing Authority, but these tend again to be in sector-specific, quite rather narrower areas. Statutory, internationally, we have Boston and Singapore, but in Hong Kong, planning, statutory planning rests with the Town Planning Board. Delivery, all have strong delivery powers, including power to act as a developer. In Hong Kong, of course, the Housing Authority now delivers through the housing department, but again, it oversees this. Management varies according to the functional remit, both international or geographical remit locally, and there are various ways that's done. Resources all own land and have power to lease land to others. Own in quotes in a way, because of course it depends on the jurisdiction in which the international case studies are located. Some have freehold, some have leasehold, but they control their land. International examples all have vows to buy and sell, and Boston and Sydney can actually resume land. Local examples are defined geographic remit, and they tend to have less power, except for the airport authority, but then that was largely granted when it was first established. Funding and staffing, they're all well resourced, with financial autonomy. Doesn't mean that all their funds come from the same sources, though. Toronto obtains resources by submitting business case to government and is entirely funded, depending on whether they agree with that business case or not. All employ dedicated full-time staff, except again for the Housing Authority in Hong Kong, which uses the Housing Department. I would encourage you to try and get through the case studies. They are quite enlightening, but I know there's an awful lot of information there. And that's really why we came up with a possible way, a framework for upcoming discussion and debate, in that we had a working group on this to pull together the information, and we found we got quite confused with the number of options you could actually have. So we tried to come up with a way of making a framework that would make this easier to consider. And the first thing was to come up with some guiding principles. And then, once you've got the guiding principles in place, you look at remit, responsibility, and resources. So, guiding principles. Obviously, these are up for discussion, but we would suggest they could include a vision. The authority needs to be visionary, and probably needs to have it set its own vision for the harbour. It needs to be independent, we would suggest. All the other authorities are. And it would have, but you need to decide how much power should be vested in it. It needs to be accountable, of course, to the government and the public. It need, how much direct, we've called it directiveness, how much should it directly control things, or how should it actually do things through third party organisations, associated organisations, primary, secondary, certainly secondary or tertiary organisations with whom it may work. And we would suggest it should be a gatekeeper. But to what extent should the authority be able to prevent third-party actions that run counter to its vision? There are obviously gradations, perhaps, of that. Once those have been established, it makes it rather easier to look at the geographic and functional remits that the body may be given. But considerations would include how much of a geographic area. The official harbour boundary doesn't include some rather key areas that impact on the harbour. The inclusion of land and water, I mean, obviously that would need to be considered. You need to be able to deliver consistent plans for the harbour as a whole, but we have already established institutions in that area. Question of responsibility for the port areas. Greater functional remit allows more ability to deliver a working and vibrant harbour. But the greater remit implies more resources, and existing bodies would be impacted. Very much the same sort of look at responsibilities for planning, delivery, and management. You've got the same interface and the considerations to be taken in to bear in mind. There's the lack of vacant and unused land. That suggests that there are powers to visit, maybe it would need to visit existing uses, maybe in the long term. But if you're going to make changes, probably need to look at that. There are many bureaus and departments with a wide range of interests in the harbour area. There's no strategic plans, perhaps one needs one in order to work with all the various bodies. Lack of vibrant public open spaces, which I think has been a concern of the Commission for some time, probably then the authority would need a management role to try and bring some vibrancy to this. And the greater, again, the body's responsibility, the greater the resource requirements, and the greater the number of existing bodies that would be affected. And then the resources to deliver the responsibilities. I think you begin to see each relies upon the next in order to come to a conclusion. Some remits and responsibilities were more resource intensive. Land holding could be a sensitive issue. Requiring the body to apply for public funding could provide checks and balances, but it would also impair independence. Securing annual public funding could be difficult, although it would be accountable and it would be a way of people keeping an eye on what was happening. But then you have the dichotomy between capital and recurrent funding within government. Didn't think it was that serious. But, we haven't drawn any conclusions. We never intended to. This is for the Commission to draw conclusions. But we do hope that we've given you a format and a way of looking at things and information there that may be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Carrie, do you want to say anything at this stage?
I'm not glad, yes.
Fine. Members, reactions, comments? I mean, a lot to absorb, I accept, but we do need to start to move this forward, and this, I think, does give us a very good platform on which to start the debate, the discussion. Winston, given that you're, I know, a proponent of the authority.
Although the paper shows that the first date this was considered, it was 2003. Actually, our society started way beyond that, way before. It was the logical thing that we have a very, very important natural resource in Hong Kong, and it's a great challenge to develop it, make good use of it, and look after it. So this is a very logical thing. The first thing that our society did was to go to Sydney, and we got all the papers from an agent in Sydney concerning Sydney Development Authority. But it's not really what we want in Hong Kong. Definitely we want our own answer here. I think I'm very impressed and grateful to Maggie and her team for such a learned paper. I mean, had this been done by lawyers, it would cost millions. I think the way forward is very clear. We've got to do this in a comprehensive way, but we also need to do it urgently. I think Mrs. Lam will agree that this is a very, very good paper, but it's also a big challenge. By something like this, going through LegCo may take 5 years, because it's very complicated, very involved, and that worries me. I think there are far more urgent issues that needs dealing with, for example, central reclamation. On my way here, discussing with Maggie, we were thinking of making use of this harbour authority to also look after central. Now it is quite obvious that it is not possible. Central cannot wait 5 years. So I think we'll be very much in your very good hands, Mrs. Lam. Thank you.
Any other comments, members, please? Mrs. Lam, thank you.
Well, first of all, I also want to express my appreciation to the Harbour Business Forum for coming up with this information paper, which is, as Winston said, is very, very comprehensive. Although I told Maggie the other day that there's absolutely nothing in this paper that I wasn't aware of, having created some of the local authorities in Hong Kong and visited almost all the authorities in overseas mentioned in this paper. But it is still a very valuable piece of resource paper to put in front of members, all these different formats, both locally and overseas, and the various issues we need to tackle. Let me just reiterate what I said in Legislative Council summer this year when this motion was sort of unanimously passed, including with the sort of endorsement of the government. We did not put up any fight about the motion put up by members that we perhaps it's time to look at authority type of institution. Let me just start on timing. What is my expectation in terms of timing? I remain very, very committed to what I said on several occasions that before the end of this term, that is in another 6 months' time, I hope to be able to provide a paper whether in the name of the Secretary for Development or in the name of the Harbourfront Commission, doesn't really matter, to the next administration on the way forward. We probably will not be able to address all the specifics that are needed to constitute an authority, but perhaps the framework. I think we should be able to come up with a framework on the role and remit of the authority, its mission, its functions, and the financing, and so on and so on. Okay. I suspect it's very difficult in a meeting like this to go through all those issues, because on a single point like land, whether the authority should own land or be vested with land, whether they could sell land or manage land, itself will perhaps be debated for a couple of hours. So if the chairman is agreeable, I remember before the HEC put his thinking onto the management model, we had a one-day or half-day retreat at the Hong Kong University. That type of occasion, in order to go through a single subject. I'm very happy to find a Saturday to join members to go through that, because time is not on our side. We really need to move fast. And we could, the Secretariat, under my personal steer, based on this paper, we could come up with a checklist of the topics that we need to go through on that occasion. Notably will be the remit, the land aspect, the planning aspect, the financing aspect, the staffing, and so on and so on. And I think we also need some government colleagues to support the discussion as resource person, to tell the commission members what is the Hong Kong experience, what is doable, what is actually not quite doable. For example, to suggest the authority should have overriding planning powers is not doable. Even the WKCDA does not have that power. The WKCDA can undertake all sorts of master planning, but they still have to subject to the Town Planning Board, which is Hong Kong's only independent town planning regime, with all this public representations and so on. I don't want to create a second empire in terms of planning. Take another point in terms of land. At the moment, I doubt very much that the authority should be given the power to sell land. After all, there isn't much land to be sold on our harbourfront, unlike Auckland harbourfront or even Boston harbourfront or Toronto harbourfront. We don't have much land to sell for residential, hotels, or offices. All our land are there to support the harbourfront enjoyment. Perhaps it doesn't have to have that function, but it would probably, like the hospital authority, should be vested with land that they could sublease and sublet for various types of activities, but the ownership remains with government. Okay, so these are just to give you a few examples on what sort of discussion we could go through when we have a good half day or one day, and then at the end of the day we have a pretty good idea of the framework that we could put to the next administration to take it forward. It would be too ambitious to suggest that we could have some draft legislation in place. I don't think we could. But about Winston's point on how do we deal with central in the interim, I suspect perhaps we need to tackle two problems, Winston. Later on, when we come to the other item, we probably will find ourselves in a deadlock on two of the sites. So we better move fast on the authority and see whether the authority provides a solution to some of the central sites. Although I did refute Winston's early idea when he suggested it should be a central harbourfront authority. I said, you can't do it in a piecemeal fashion. What about a Quarry Bay harbourfront authority and East Kowloon harbourfront authority? But whether it could be phased in. If the land is to be vested, there's no reason why land could not be vested in phases, like the hospital authority. We do not vest all the hospital land with the hospital authority on day one. As you know, there are then government hospitals, sub-inter hospitals, and all sorts of hospitals, and new hospitals coming on stream, and things like that. So I think most of the problems could be overcome if we put our collective wisdom together and try to find some solution. The only point I want to really to get your view now is the name I do have some reservations on calling it a harbour authority. Francis, huh? Francis, you have a port authority, something like that? You have a port authority function?
No.
The director of marine, no.
We are just a marine administration.
But I thought there's an advisory committee carrying the name port, something port what? Huh? No, it's the same marine, it's port. Port. Huh?
In my own time board, which is, as you said, an advisory group advising Secretary for Transport and Housing on the development of our port.
Well, I am inclined to stick with harbour front rather than harbour. And I'm also inclined to try to put in the word Victoria before harbour front. So it's not just any harbour front. We can't look at the Tumwon Harbour Front and the Castle Peak Harbour Front and so on. So that's my personal view. I think to call it a harbour authority may be stretching it too wide and complicate the whole matter, because you need to check through the other legislation and the marine and the transport and housing purview to see whether the port functions would be confused with the harbour authority in Hong Kong, especially in our international interactions. I don't know in the IMO and things like that whether there are port functions and harbour functions that signatories have to be held responsible to. I hope members could, when we next visit this topic, perhaps even the name is something that we need to agree upon first before we go into the details. And I also want this authority to be made accountable to somebody. I have looked through all the local authorities as well, even the overseas authorities. It appears that unanimously a waterfront or harbourfront authority is held accountable to the relevant minister or the mayor. So there's a line of accountability should be retained and maintained, which means that also the power to appoint perhaps should rest with the executive. These are some of the core things that I need to safeguard on behalf of the administration. It cannot be really a free-for-all, a people type of organization and a universal suffrage and things like that. I hope you appreciate that. And even it was borne out by overseas examples, they all are held accountable to the minister and the mayor, or the mayor, and all the appointments are made by the minister or the mayor. All have managed to find other forms and other means to engage the public. You could set up friends of the authority, you could have subcommittees, you could have co-opted members and all sorts of things. But perhaps these are some of the government inputs that we would try to steer the discussion. Otherwise, we might end up with something that we cannot be sure that it would have the full blessing from the administration point of view. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman shouldn't comment, but perhaps just react to your suggestion that we should call it Harbour Front Authority. I personally, I think that limits indicates a limit in terms of geography. To me, anyway, it indicates that the responsibility is solely for the waterfront. And we've all agreed that what happens on the water is equally important, and how we coordinate land and water is very important going forward. So. I mean, my initial reaction is that Harbour Front is perhaps too narrow, but I mean, this is obviously something for discussion. But rather, just taking up your point, I mean, I think to try and work out a framework at a meeting like this is just not the practical way forward. I think an away day where we have a workshop type environment, a structured workshop where we identify in a structured way the issues and discuss those and decide on what are the priorities going forward? I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, would members be willing to give up a Saturday? I think it is a Saturday. I don't think it's half day, I'm afraid. If you think of the topic and the areas we need to discuss. But if we did something after Chinese New Year, so we target February, is that right?
Yes.
Winston, sorry.
Chairman.
Yeah.
Can I respond to Mrs. Lam's point about the name? The word harbour has a definition under Chapter 1 of our laws of Hong Kong. So it's very clear. Mm. The problem with harbour front is that where do you draw the line? Mm. That's going to be a problem for the Harbour Front Commission. In fact, how do you define harbour front? That's going to be quite a problem.
What's the legal definition of harbour? Can you remember?
The harbour is a line.
Line. But this is, that is Yimut. About the water. Yes. We are not working about the harbour.
Yes, that's, yeah. That is at least clear.
Yeah.
But harbour front, we have a problem with how much inland do you go. So anyway, it is a problem. Thank you.
Okay. Please, Becky.
And Chair, very quickly about the way forward before we met at the workshop. I think we also need to make a stronger case, because this is something is how Hong Kong people would benefit from the Harbour Authority, and how a Harbour Authority would better fulfill the Harbour Front principles. This is something that the current paper has deliberately not to look into. So I think we need to have kind of a case to be put up for the workshop as well, so that we can really see, go through the framework suggested by Maggie.
Okay, all right. So workshop in February? Great, okay.
Meanwhile, if members have any question, any suggestions, any ideas, please channel those to the secretary. Then together we can produce a comprehensive checklist for us to go over.
Yeah. Maybe you could sit with the chairs at some stage and we'll try and help you come up with a list. Yeah. Yeah. Good. All right. Thank you, HPF. Thank you very much. Useful. Very useful.